Section 2. The Great Depression Levels North Carolina. As you read, look for causes of the Great Depression. How the Great Depression affected North Carolina. Attempts by government and businesses to give relief to North Carolinians. And the following terms: secret ballot, depression, stock market, relief, and live-at-home program. O. Max Gardner, who was born in Shelby, the county seat of Cleveland County, became governor in early 1929 after a long career of public service to the state. Gardner, a former college football star, had been the youngest man ever to be elected lieutenant governor. Gardner wanted the state to be more progressive toward all of its citizens. For example, he championed the secret ballot, where a voter made a decision in a private voting booth. Before 1930, North Carolinians voted in public, where all could see their choices. That kind of public voting meant that a sharecropper who voted against the wishes of his landlord might lose his farm. Although Gardner believed in segregation, he thought black students deserved more respect. It was customary for the governor to have his picture made with high school award winners. When the two winners of a contest showed up at the Capitol, one for the white schools and the other for the black, Gardner had his picture made with both of them together. When violence was about to break out during a labor strike in High Point, the governor went to visit both the owners and the workers to settle the dispute. No governor had ever done such a thing. Gardner also reorganized the state government. He tried to save tax money by reducing the number of government offices. He convinced the legislature to expand the powers of the new Highway Commission to supervise all the roads. Gardner believed that one state highway department was more efficient than 100 county units. The university at Chapel Hill, State College in Raleigh, and Woman's College in Greensboro were placed under one president, creating the consolidated university that has served the state to the present day. Gardner so effectively reordered the state that his allies would control the Democratic Party and the state through World War II. These leaders became known as the Shelby Dynasty because of their association with the town. The dynasty included Gardner's brother-in-law, Clyde R. Hoey, also a Shelby resident, who became governor in 1937. Coping with the Great Depression dominated Gardner's years as governor. A depression is a downturn in economic activity. Sales of goods and prices fall, manufacturing decreases, businesses close, banks fail, and people lose their jobs. The Great Depression was the worst in the nation's history. North Carolinians had believed that the new prosperity of the 1920s would last a long time, and they needed to be at the center of it. So they issued bonds and obtained credit to build new high schools and highways and make other public improvements. In 1929, the state, the counties, and the towns of North Carolina owed 13 times the debt they owed in 1921. Paying off those debts almost devastated North Carolina. The Great Depression of the early 1930s was worldwide in its scope. It was the worldwide problem that hurt North Carolinians the most. Much of the state's prosperity was based on the sale of tobacco overseas. When those markets dried up, the whole state suffered. The causes of the Great Depression. Most Americans remember that the Depression started with the famous stock market crash of 1929. A stock market is a place where the stocks of corporations are bought and sold. The market did crash and stocks lost value, ruining many companies and individuals. However, other problems also led to the Great Depression. America had made a lot of money selling arms and other materials to the European countries during the war. The Europeans paid in gold, and this made a lot of money available for industry. The factories grew so fast that their ability to make goods outpaced the ability of enough people to consume them. By the late 1920s, the factories simply had too many products and too few customers. Cannon Mills, for example, was only operating 2 days a week even before the stock market crash. The same problem existed on the farms. Farmers had been growing as much as they could, which produced more than the market needed. The lack of consumers to buy up goods in a timely manner was the real cause of the Great Depression. This situation directly impacted North Carolina. The Ford factory in Charlotte made Model Ts very efficiently, but eventually every North Carolinian who could afford a car had bought one. Because textile wages and farm prices were declining because of overproduction, people bought less. Businesses like the Ford plant in Charlotte had to close. When businesses closed down, unemployed people could not pay their bills, and more businesses had to close. This was the case with the banks. People made runs on the bank to get their money out before it closed. The demands of depositors, therefore, forced the bank to close. If a depositor waited too long, there might be no money. More than 300 North Carolina banks closed during the Great Depression. Governor Gardner himself almost lost his savings when a Shelby bank nearly closed. In Charlotte, an irate man came to the locked door of the First National Bank with a shotgun in his hands. In late 1931, Branch Banking and Trust, BB&T, in Wilson wisely handled the rush of customers. The cashiers, knowing a truck full of cash was on the way from Raleigh, counted out every dollar as slowly as they could, one customer at a time. Many of the customers went to the post office down the street to invest in the Postal Savings Bank, where deposits were guaranteed by the government. The bank convinced the postmaster to deposit the cash back into BB&T. Thus, the bank recycled cash all day until the truck arrived. The Live at Home Program. The people who suffered first in North Carolina were the sharecroppers and mill village hands. They had little or nothing to fall back on. By 1931, matters got worse, and they had little or no work. Even though he had nowhere to sell his towels, Charles Cannon in Kannapolis kept his workforce together by having each person work every other day. He bought thousands of brooms, and the workers swept the floors all day. Workers without jobs turned to the county governments for help. It was called relief in that day because the community was to relieve as much suffering as it could. Usually, families on relief had to work for the town or county. Catawba County put its folks on relief to work growing a garden to help feed the unemployed. In some counties, like Anson, as many as half the families were on relief at one time or another. Governor Gardner worked very hard to keep as many banks open as possible. He continued to spend money on highways because building roads put men to work. He urged farm families to participate in a live-at-home program, where they used seeds bought by local governments to grow more food and raise the necessities they usually bought at the store. Gardner convinced the legislature not to pass a sales tax. The sales tax would have been collected on necessities like food and fuel, which would hurt the poor. Instead, the state increased taxes on manufacturing profits. Some businesses, particularly the tobacco industry, continued to do well in the bad times. In fact, in 1931, the directors of the R.J. Reynolds Company learned they had made record profits. Special feature, Carolina Places, the Brown Mountain Lights. One mountain just east of the Blue Ridge is one of the most famous spots in North Carolina. It may be the eeriest place in the state because it emits mysterious lights that go and come like ghosts in the night. So famous are the Brown Mountain Lights that the State Highway Department has a turnoff for visitors on Highway 181 north of Morganton. The place is so well known that the popular 1990s television show The X-Files even had an episode suggesting the lights were extraterrestrial in origin. The lights truly fascinate North Carolinians. From a distance, they pop up like balloons in the night air, flutter around, then disappear like fireflies. They have been described as having all the basic colors, although shades of white and red are most often seen. Because it is so hard to get to the slopes of Brown Mountain, most people only see them from a distance. People lucky enough to get close have said the lights are globs about the size of basketballs, so bright and colorful that they are opaque. The globs seem to rise up from the ground. They sometimes split apart, making smaller globs, and at least one visitor reported that the globs spin around each other. They last at best a minute, then fade away. More than one person has noted that if you get close to the globs, they will move away from you. If you back away, they will follow you. What are the Brown Mountain Lights? In the 1920s, one researcher claimed they were the reflections of car headlights on nearby roads. But highways were miles away, and the Cherokee had seen the same thing hundreds of years before automobiles even existed. Old-timers had two different explanations. First, Cherokee ghosts were looking for the bodies of braves lost in battle. Second, a faithful slave was carrying a lantern looking for his missing master. Neither made any sense. Later, in the 1900s, some visitors called the globs swamp gas, a methane mixture that supposedly rose out of cracks in the rocks when the air cooled at night. Nobody, however, could find the cracks. Recent investigations have advanced our understanding of the lights. One researcher actually touched one of the globs. He received an electrical shock, and some scientists now suspect that the lights are really spheres of illumination caused by highly ionized plasma. Ionization means that the electrons in the air are so energized that they spin fast enough to charge the nearby air. The air eventually glows like it is on fire, but the cooler surrounding air discharges the ions within a minute. That is why they spin and die out so soon. The ionization theory could explain why the lights behave as they do. Ionization is related to magnetism, which would account for the globs being attracted or repelled by people. One researcher has suggested that Brown Mountain is like a battery. It may have layers of quartz and magnetite that form positive and negative layers and store a charge. When conditions are right in the air above, a form of lightning goes up towards the sky. The globs are simply the hot centers of charged air. Regardless, when the air is right, the Brown Mountain Lights put on one of North Carolina's best shows.